just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want.
If you're looking for events that happen in the month of August, Backtime remembers these tasty morsels that all happened on August 19th.
Goldfinger!
Today in 1848, the New York Herald reported the discovery of gold in California. 160 years later, all of it apparently belongs to Brangelina. On this date in 1934, the first All-American Soapbox Derby was held in Dayton, Ohio. To this day, it remains the only sport not tainted with a steroid scandal. In 1997, the movie Titanic opened in theaters across the country. Spoiler alert, the boat sank. It's back time for August 19th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's the Onion Radio News. Midwesterners descend on an insurance company's free nail files. This is Doyle Redland reporting. At the Chicago Home Expo today, throngs of voracious Midwesterners assaulted the State Farm Insurance booth to grab as many free promotional nail files as they could possibly carry away. Mother of four, Beth Hoffman of nearby Zion, greedily clutched a handful of the promotional items as she spoke with reporters.
Look, they have the State Farm logo printed right on them. I grabbed a few extra for Mom. I'm sure she could use some, too.
The horde of freebie-seeking Flatlanders then moved quickly on to the Century 21 real estate booth, where they plundered a basket filled with free business cards that turn into sponges when dunked in water. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
You, sir, are imbued with the God-given gift to respond to questions that are actually answers with answers that are actually questions.
And you get every single one right.
Yes, you've accumulated a vast fortune, Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant, with a head full of knowledge and a fistful of buzzard.
You've made more money than Merv.
And you're a whole lot funnier than Alex.
But that's not.
I'll say. So the next time you think you're smart enough to be on that show, plop your brains on the couch and drop your jaw in salute to Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant, a real American hero.
Mr. Egghead Jeopardy contestant.
Sorry, form of a question, please.
Now from high atop the L.A. Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on L.A. Talk Radio.
And good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Susie. It is Tuesday, August 19th, and we're back here in the studio for another great show.
Third week.
I hope, yeah. Is it our third week
it
already?
It is.
Really? You know that I'm sending out like a huge press release tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, this thing's gonna hit. this thing's gonna hit the AP wires and everything.
Every major
newspaper, and that. So.
That's so exciting.
The whole world's gonna know about Susie and Sam in the Morning.
I was actually talking to someone the other day, and I was like, I've always prided myself on being un-Googleable.
Yeah.
But my friend was just like, so I Googled you the other day,
yeah.
And it totally like came up with all this stuff with regards to the radio station, and I was like, wow.
Really?
Like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so your name's getting out there, you see. It doesn't take very long.
I know. I don't know if that's a good thing, though.
They'll be able
to find me.
Well, we won't give away where you live, but, you know, if they come to the station, well, we have cops here and everything. So we're well protected.
I know. It's like, you've got to have like 16 access badges to get into this building.
I know.
That's okay. We feel very safe.
Yeah.
Although they did let my guest today that I brought with me in with a very large knife.
Really? He has a knife?
Yeah. You look horrified.
Good morning to you.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. And what is your name?
My name's Brian Lucas.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. So you brought a knife with you?
I did. I brought my chef knife.
Really?
Yes.
Is that like important?
It is if I'm going to make food, if I'm going to use it.
I see. Okay.
Hold on. I need to fix your mic for you.
Yeah.
There you go.
That looked really dirty.
It did? Did it look like I'm pushing a cock in his mouth?
It really actually did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
No, but now we can hear you. So, Susie, tell us a little bit about your friend and...
Okay, well, he lives in the hippie commune across the street from my apartment, and he's actually one of the two gentlemen that gave Janique and me our sensual massages.
Oh.
For all the listeners that have been listening with us from the start. And he's also a raw food chef, and he's also the gentleman that takes me to yoga.
Really?
So, yes.
So, now, what's a raw food chef?
Well, the whole concept behind raw foods is to keep it all under 118 degrees, the temperature, so you keep all the enzymes rich and alive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
so it's not really raw at 118 degrees, though, is it?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a debate, raw living, it does keep the enzymes intact, and that's
the
whole point, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you get to eat the vegetables, but yet whatever nutrients are in there.
Yeah, well, what I do, it's say I'm a gourmet raw living chef, and so I take it to a whole nother level, use dehydration, do major preparation, a cuisine. So.
Yeah. Now, why do you think that's worth the hassle? I mean, it sounds like a lot of work.
Well, I mean, from all the studies that I've done and all of the you know, actual experiences that I've seen and that I've had myself,
right,
it's worth it as far as health goes. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So you're a health nut and stuff?
Big time. Yeah.
Cool.
He always comes over, and I've got like my bottle of wine. I'm like, "Hi, like, want some wine?" He's like, "No, I don't drink, Susie. You know this." I'm like, "Come on, just a little bit."
Yeah.
He's like, "No, here's some raw food snacks I made for you."
Yeah. So have you seen a lizard and her cats and everything?
Yeah, a few lizards, and a few cats.
Yeah, just a couple. Yeah.
And actually, Sam, this is the gentleman that also has all of the what Janique termed the Kama Sutra tattoos.
Kama Sutra tattoos.
Yeah, so we'll have to show you
some
of these.
We were discussing those. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does he have to undress to do that?
No.
Oh, okay, good. So let's take a look at him and see where he have... No, he's about to take off his pants here.
No, I don't have one there.
Oh, okay. Cool, let's
he should.
See. All right, so what we have here, a man taking a woman from behind, and
that's right here.
Oh, that's that one, okay. Man, he's got some, these are explicit tattoos.
You obviously have to talk into the mic. Explain
No,
what
it's okay, you can sit down, I can see them. Okay, and more, a 69 position there, okay.
Yeah, 69,
two French
women that I turned into angels.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah. But you notice, obviously, those drawings reflect the real culture, whereas they don't look at like skinny women as something attractive.
Yeah, being bad. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Yeah, or sex being bad.
Yeah, know? Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
My favorite one is this one here.
Yeah. Okay. I don't. That's an orgy.
It's an orgy and an elephant. Elephant. It's a Hindu from the 1300s.
Okay. Are they fucking the elephant too?
No, it makes an elephant.
Oh, I. Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay. So it's an orgy, and the figures there make a shape of an elephant.
Exactly.
Cool. Cool. So obviously you have a lot of stories behind these tattoos and everything, right?
I have a lot of stories in general.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
He had a good story. Well, a good story from last night.
Yeah.
He actually, after we went to yoga, I had a little party over at my house, Sam.
Yes.
Where I'm trying to become a minimalist.
Right.
And as I've told you before, I'm a massive pack rat. So this is a very difficult endeavor for me to take on.
Right.
So I had five of my girlfriends over at the house last night, and we kind of had a little bit of a party where we were going through all of my clothes and we were all just pretty much naked, just trying on my clothes all night.
Uh-huh.
You know, having some wine and just relaxing.
Right.
And my apartment is very small, and I kind of keep the doors open to the street. And apparently, Brian over here caught some peeping Toms that were
really
observing the festivities.
Really?
Yes.
And you didn't make sure you close the blinds and stuff like that?
It's so hot in there, like, especially with six of us in there,
sweating.
And
you actually left the door open.
Yeah.
But then you wonder why people are looking.
I didn't really wonder why. I mean, obviously, it seemed like, I don't know.
I had the best catering job ever.
Really?
Because I was bringing food over to tantalize their taste buds. And
I see.
And I was showing up with the food.
Yeah.
And as I walked around the corner, I see one guy ducking. The other two had just went by.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, and they're like scattered. Like,
Well, you can understand them, right? I mean, they're like virtually naked. The door is open.
It's
pretty much inviting, you know?
It was definitely inviting.
Yeah. I mean, it says you might as well just walk in and stuff. But
it is Venice.
Yeah, it is Venice.
Yes, yes.
And you do like to tease, so it didn't bother you that
no,
much.
No, not at all, not at all. I had a grand old time.
So what do you do for a living, Brian?
I'm a gourmet raw living chef.
Oh, really? And so you do that for a living?
Yeah, I cater to wealthy celebrities, inner city youth, the whole spectrum.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I just
cool.
did an event the other night where I was supposed to be making food for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very low attendance, so he didn't come.
Okay.
But I was able to feed inner city youth gourmet raw living food, something they would have never had ever.
Really?
In their life.
That's cool.
Did they like it?
Yeah. Oh, they loved it. I mean, it was really hard to get them to taste it. But once they did, they were like, whoa.
Because some of the things you bring over, I mean, I'm just like, what the hell is that? You want me to put that in my mouth? Yeah. I'm like, uh-uh, get that away.
I have some here, too, to share.
For Sam to try.
Yeah. So you walk around with a knife constantly? Is that it?
Only when I'm going to maybe do some work somewhere. So.
I see. Okay. Are you going to do work somewhere today?
Well, I was thinking of sharing a durian, but then I thought I didn't want to get you fired. I have a fruit called a durian fruit.
Really? What is that?
It's a spiked fruit. It actually kills people in the jungle when it falls from. But it's grown in like Thailand, Indonesia, in Asian tropical countries, and it's one of my. Actually, it's probably my favorite thing on this planet to put in my mouth.
Really,
but it has the most. It has the weirdest.
That's not what you were telling me last night.
I knew she'd come up with something.
Oh, believe me, she'll come up with a few. But I was going to open it if you. Felt so inclined, but then I was telling Susie that I don't know if we should because it has a smell that some people are like just completely thrown off to.
Really?
Or some people are just like, wow, you know, it's one or the other. Yeah. You just hate it or you love it.
Yeah.
I could just imagine like the building being evacuated for like the nasty smell on the 36th floor.
Yeah, I can imagine. No smells here, man. I'm very...
He is very picky.
Sensitive to smells.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very sensitive to smells.
Well, I brought a grapefruit too, so...
Really? Okay, cool. We'll have that. But I've been known to puke from bad smell.
Oh, shit. That would be kind of a scene.
And not very good for your business for promoting it.
Well, it's not. I don't make. That's not my cuisine. You know, God makes that, or the universe, whatever.
Good point,
the earth
good
makes
point.
That.
You so. Just cut it open.
Yeah.
You just chop it. Excellent.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's cool. But we're not going to talk about food the whole show. No. Food kind of bores me, actually.
Are you kidding me?
No, I love to eat it, but you know, I'm not into making it or anything. So.
Oh my God, I love to eat.
I'm just
and I
into
love to
consuming.
Cook.
Really, you like to cook?
I love to cook.
Really?
I'm not really so good. Well, I mean, I'm not bad, but I just kind of I have a really hard time following a recipe.
Really?
And again, I have the phone sex voice. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to try and work on healing that. This
I know.
Weekend.
I was listening to the replay yesterday, and your voice was totally husky. You know?
Did it like sound awful?
Not awful. No, it just sounded different.
Oh. Yeah. I'm working on it. I'm trying.
Yeah. What's Brian doing there? Tell him he's making noise.
Uh-oh.
Okay. What is that, Brian? That's dried tomatoes?
Sun-dried tomatoes with pesto.
Oh,
and
wow.
Nut cheese.
Cool. Try one? I don't know. Maybe later.
Okay.
Because I haven't had breakfast yet.
Oh, and your voice, too.
But, well, I don't know about the voice. I don't really give a shit about my voice. Smoke cigarettes
your
like
voice
crazy.
Always sounds good.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
I like it. It's very calming to me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's good. Because if I was as hyper as you, we'd be bouncing off the walls.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
That would be a bad combination. So do we have another guest in store today?
We do have a guest. Hopefully they won't flake, but they did not confirm, so
uh-oh.
I don't know. But these people that are flaking are getting on my nerves, really. So I'm gonna start scheduling two friggin' people every day. You
it's
know?
Just what really unprofessional that people do that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so L.A., you know? I mean, what's so hard about sending a fucking email or responding to an email saying I can't make it?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know.
But we'll see. Maybe she'll still make it. I don't know.
Oh, it's a she.
No it way. Is a she. Well, that's why, you see, Brian, that's why she brought you, because I always have girls here. So she figured, you know, if he's not bringing guys, I will, you know. So, because she's got to have guys around. God knows.
I do not.
So what happened? Okay, so you had five girls over last night.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, and did anybody find clothes that they liked?
Yes, I gave each girl probably left with like 2 to 3 garbage bags full of,
really?
Of clothes.
Wow.
And right now it looks like my closet threw up all over my apartment.
Really?
Yeah. I woke up and I looked down from my bed and I was like, oh no.
Do you have any clothes left?
I have a ton of clothes left still.
Yeah.
And I've got a huge pile to give to like a consignment shop, a designer one where like I can hopefully make some money on them. And then another pile of stuff that I'll just donate to Goodwill.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Try and sell it on eBay too.
I know. Well, no, I'm going to try and sell my iGallop and things like that on eBay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, clothes you don't really want to. But you can do a... a garage sale or something too.
But I love garage sales. I would go and I would buy everything that I was trying to sell. I'd be like, oh my God, that's so cute. I have to have it.
And you won't get it. You won't get its value anyway, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, what are you going to get, a dollar or something? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
I can't be like the angry lesbians that do the garage sales in Marblehead that try and get like ridiculous amounts of money. I'm like, no, it's a fucking garage sale, lady. I'm like, I'm giving you 50 cents and you're going to like it. And they're like, no. Ay.
Yeah, so talking about out-of-towners, you got to hear this. We have two of the sweetest ladies doing a show on our station. It's called With Love. And it's
With Love?
Yes, and it's with Maudie and Gail.
Okay.
And these two ladies are from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm.
And it is in North Carolina, right, Charlotte?
Yes.
Okay, not South Carolina. I always get confused. But so suddenly, I mean, we sent out the invitation for the party that we're going to have on Thursday in Beverly Hills, and I guess they liked it, and she's like, well, maybe we'll see you there, and I'm going...
They're coming out?
I said, what are you talking about? So then, the following day, yesterday, she sends me an email. She says, we're going to be there at
the
party.
Oh my gosh! So, they're coming out just for the party?
Well, I told them, I said, you know, don't come just for the party. I mean, it doesn't make sense, you know? And she says, no, we're coming to see you. We're coming for you.
Oh, that's
and
so
I thought,
sweet.
Wow, how awesome, you know? So,
that's so nice of them.
That carries a little amount of responsibility there if they're coming for me.
I know.
But I'm very flattered, and it's amazing, you know. So I was going to have them come on the show, but first of all, we're not going to do a show Thursday and Friday because you're going to be out of town.
Mm.
But I thought I would do a show anyway with them on Friday, but they're leaving. They're only coming for like 24 hours or something.
And just to see you, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and to be at the party. They should be fun.
I know. I was totally bummed out that I'm going to miss the party. I was actually thinking, I actually propositioned my sister because she's in Vegas right now waiting for me to get there.
Right.
And so I said, okay, I'm going to drive to Vegas on Wednesday. I'm going to spend the night Wednesday. And then I've got this party, this launch party for work, and I've got to be there. And I was like, so then I want you to be my date, and we're going to drive back. And we're going to go to the party, and then we're going to drive back to Vegas on Friday.
Oh, that's crazy.
And then I'm going to drive back home for the topless march on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then my sister was like, did you just hear what you just said?
Yeah.
And she's like, how hyper are you? Calm down.
Yeah.
You just
want to be in too many places at once.
I know.
Yeah.
She's like, come and relax and spend time with your family and get your voice back.
Yeah.
I think she's going to slip some Valium into my drink so I calm down a bit.
Yeah. No, but I don't know if you should do it because, I mean, I don't know how great the party is going to be or not. I mean, I'm sure
well,
you
if
enjoy
I were there, it would be fabulous.
You enjoy every party, right?
Yeah.
It's at this nightclub restaurant in Beverly Hills on Beverly Drive. And it's
very
a
nice.
Pretty cool place, yeah. Pretty cool place.
I'm just bummed the date was switched. I really wanted to attend.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, parties on Thursdays usually are not very common, but that's what he was able to do. So.
Well, we have a party tonight, Sam. Did you forget?
No, I didn't forget that one. I almost forgot. Are you going for sure?
I am almost for sure going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to try and go.
I will call you later this evening, and we can make some definite plans about it. We have, let's tell Brian here, we have, and our guests out there, a party tonight at Sardos in the Valley in Burbank. Is Burbank the Valley?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Perpetually lost Susie over here. And it's with a stripper called Satine Phoenix.
She's a porn star, not a stripper.
Oh, a porn. Oh, yeah. My God, a porn star. I'm so sorry. Yes.
Yeah, how could you mistake something like that?
I don't know. I was just thinking naked in my head.
In your mind, it's the same thing. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to wake up, too. Late night with the girls.
Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, so it's a porn star karaoke night. Oh, and my voice, it's going to be ruined for singing.
No, it'll be fine.
Oh, I don't know.
Just take some honey and stuff.
Just suck
I think
on some
that
honey
helps.
All day?
Yeah, that
okay.
could be good.
Definitely.
That could help. Yeah.
But, all in the name of porn star karaoke.
Are you coming mainly for the singing or for the porn stars?
What do you think?
For the porn stars.
I just would love to meet that woman. She just sounded so fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
You like to meet her? Yeah.
Definitely.
They sent the whole press release on it and everything, you know, so... yeah, it should be fun. Maybe I'll go. Maybe
you
I'll
definitely
go.
Have to. Yeah. Oh my God, I gave all my clothes away. What am I going to wear?
Oh my God.
I guess I'll have to go with very little, scantily clad.
Wear what you wear every day, pretty much.
Oh, no. I've got to dress it up a notch.
Yeah. No, just yesterday you referred to the fact that you wear the same stuff all the time.
Right? I know.
Or let's say similar stuff, the same style.
Yes, the same style.
But that's fine. That's your style. I mean, most people are like that.
It's just very lackadaisical. You've got a very laid-back style as well.
Yeah.
Unlike TJ. TJ comes in here with his buttoned-up collar and his jacket every day.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, it's about an attitude. You know, clothes make you feel a certain way.
Yes.
Right, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He just likes to be naked.
I prefer the naked thing.
Yeah. but normally you're just in jeans and a t-shirt. And
yeah,
stuff.
Jeans, t-shirt. Yeah.
A hat.
Camouflage shorts.
Yeah.
Hat.
Flops.
Sometimes, I don't know, it depends. If I'm going out, of course, dressing up is the thing to do, so.
Yeah. Well, but in L.A., you know, I mean, the dress code is pretty laid back, I think. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
You'll see a lot of people going to nightclubs in jeans and shit like that. You know, you don't see this in other places.
Do you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David?
No.
Why do you say it like that? No.
Because I don't watch TV. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, you should watch this. No, he's like a crazy fanatic Jewish guy living in L.A.
Yeah.
And he's just got like the
he's
L.A.
the guy
style.
That directed Seinfeld originated Seinfeld.
Definitely.
Right. Okay.
But he's just got this style that's like so typical L.A. And like he's always wearing like dress pants that are with sneakers, with a t-shirt, with a blazer.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone.
The preppy look.
Or the jeans with the blazer. You know, totally. Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. All my Jewish friends in New York have that look down, too.
Really?
Yes. It's like the, I really don't care what I'm wearing, even though I'm wearing $500 jeans and a $200 t-shirt. Let me just throw this blazer on with my cute sneakers. So that's what everyone has going on here, I think.
Yeah. How's Janique doing? Did you talk to her?
I've been trying to get in touch with her, and I've actually been having a hard time. She sent me a text yesterday saying she was meeting with the lawyers.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's great. For a DUI.
I know.
Yeah.
My poor baby.
You like to drink too, Brian?
Oh, I had my bout with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had two DUIs. So.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I'm over it.
They'll straight you up.
I'm over it.
And do you have a driver's license?
Currently, it's suspended.
That's why I asked.
Great, and you moved my car this morning.
Yeah,
yeah, that's how it's usually.
Well, actually, it's suspended as of September 21st. Yeah. So.
Let me tell you, I for one am glad you don't have a driver's license.
So
with two DUIs, forget about it, man.
I'm over it.
Well, he doesn't drink anymore.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
8 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How'd you do it?
It wasn't resonating with me anymore.
Really? How do you just stop one day? I mean, have you gone to 12-step programs?
Oh,
and shit?
No. When I figure something, I don't align with something,
right.
I just cut it out.
You just cut it out, yeah. I used to be like that, but not anymore, so.
Thing with cigarettes.
I'm doomed to smoke forever, yeah.
I'm telling you, Chantix is the best drug in the world.
Yeah.
Tricks your brain into like blocking the pleasure receptors.
I'm going to try
It's unbelievable because I was a smoker for years.
But first you have to want to quit.
No.
You know? No.
I didn't want to quit. Franz hated kissing me when I smoked, so it just got really, really, really annoying having him just kind of bitch every time he would kiss me. And finally I was like, all right, you know, I'll fucking quit. Fine.
Yeah.
And I really did not want to quit, but I started taking the drug even though I was like against it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, you really should try it.
Yeah, maybe I will. But that's the thing, is that I think I'll miss the cigarettes and I'll just stop taking the shit, you know? So, I don't know. You can't fool yourself, you know? You either do it or you don't.
I'm telling you, this thing fooled myself.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but maybe you really just wanted to quit, you know?
Subconsciously?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Because I agree with you.
Yeah, it depends.
I didn't want to get lip wrinkles.
Lip wrinkles. I think it's a myth that those happen from smoking cigarettes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. If I look at all the old ladies and things, and especially women in my family that have been smoking for a million years, they all have these like signature lip wrinkles.
But I think women get that without smoking.
I don't know.
I think. I mean, I've heard of that before.
And then you put the lipstick on, the lipstick like runs through the little like veiny little things, and you're like, oh.
The crevices.
Yeah. There. Oh my gosh, it's like a stream just like branching out, and the lipstick just kind of funnels through.
Yeah.
If people get lip wrinkles from smoking, what do porn stars get from, you know?
Oh.
They get crooked teeth.
You can't get crooked teeth from that.
You don't know that.
I don't know. Really? Shut up. My sister once told me gullible wasn't in the dictionary, and I was like, yes, it is. I'm going to go find it. You guys are making fun of me.
No, we're not making fun at all. At all, really. But, did you notice that there's not a lot of fucking interesting news lately, but there's a lot of celebrity news.
I know, there definitely is.
Have you heard of Christina Applegate and her cancer?
I know.
So apparently she's had both her breasts removed.
Oh, that's so sad. Double mastectomy?
Yes.
Oh, that sucks.
That's terrible, huh? Yeah. But she seems to have a pretty good attitude about it. She says, I'm going to have cute boobs till I'm 90, so there's that. I'll have the best boobs in the nursing home.
Is she going to have implants put in, does it say?
Maybe that's what she's planning on doing, yeah.
Because I've known a lot of women that have had a double mastectomy, and they always end up, once you know they heal from it and the cancer is in remission.
Can you do an implant
Oh, that's the first thing they do.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Because I thought they just put like fake breasts or something.
No?
Really?
Yeah.
Not these days.
Yeah.
No. Ew, actually, there was this girl at my bar probably a couple months ago, and she had the most beautiful tits I've ever seen. They were just so gorgeous. And after a couple of drinks, she's like, "Do you want to see?" And she like lifts up her shirt, and I'm like, "Whoa, sweetheart." I'm like, "All right, okay, I want to see and I want to feel." Yeah. And so like, she lets me feel them, and they really felt real. And it turns out the surgeon actually went in, and this really creeped me out, went in through her belly button. So there was actually like no surgery at all. And like went up through her stomach that way.
Yeah.
And into the boobs.
Yeah, many have it done that way. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
But it's nice that you don't have scars that way.
I know, but I mean, ooh.
I know. Well, you don't think about it. I mean, fuck, you know. I mean, the whole procedure is terrible anyway. Even if they do it the normal way, you know, with all the scars and
the recovery is like so painful apparently.
Really?
Oh my God.
I know, the shit that women go through. Brian, do you like fake boobs or would you go for natural?
I'm not a fan.
I'm not either. So you'll go for small, but as long as it's natural,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah, and most men are like that. That's what I'm trying to say.
So many women don't understand that out there. They really think that men are into the big fake whatever.
Yeah, but we're not. We really are not.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, they look phony, you know? They look like balls or something, you know, they're too close together, too rounded, you know. But some, I have to admit that some boob jobs I've seen are excellent. I mean, they really look convincing.
Like this one I was talking about. I mean, she went from B's to double D's.
Really?
And in through the belly button. I mean, they were supple and they were full and they were perky.
Really?
They were very uplifting.
What do they do about the nipple, though? Don't they remove that as well?
Ew. I've heard that they could do that, too. And go in through the nipple for different ones.
No, I mean when they... when you go through the...
belly button?
No, the mastectomy. Is that what they call it?
Double mastectomy.
Yeah, mastectomy. That's right. So when you go through that, don't they remove the whole breast with the nipples too?
I don't think they would remove the nipple.
So where the hell... Oh, so they're going to sew it back in or something?
Yeah, I think they actually just cut out the fatty tissue part of the breast.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
The way I'm picturing it, everything's removed.
Me too.
Yeah. Really?
Maybe they do nipple implants.
Yeah.
If you choose to,
but I don't think that's a standard.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God. You guys just horrified me. I hope I never get breast cancer.
No.
Eat raw.
You won't.
I what?
Eat raw.
Yeah. Eat raw and breastfeed when you're
pregnant.
After you have a kid. Because I have a feeling that a lot of breast cancer is because they don't breastfeed. Yeah. And, you know, and you have all this, like... you know, all the ducts get clogged and shit, you know, with all the milk that's produced there, and you don't use it, you know. So I think all cancer is either from underusing or overusing an organ or something, I think, you know.
Interesting.
And, I don't know. I think with prostate cancer, too, I think if you don't use it enough, that's why I say,
you don't use your prostate?
Yeah, whack off every day, you know.
I'll be fine.
And keep
there.
It going.
But
yeah.
You don't like your prostate to be aroused.
No, but that's where everything. No, but that's where the stuff originates. Okay.
I'll never get prostate cancer. Yeah.
There you go. You see.
I don't have one, do I?
I don't know. Do you want me to check? I'll do an oil check.
Seriously, I'm so bad with biology. I'm actually taking a biology class this semester, and I'm freaking out about it. I just found out 2 years ago that I have 3 holes down there.
Uh-huh.
Wait, 1, 2. I didn't. I was having dinner, like a dinner party, with some friends, and my sister was present. Mm-hmm. And like they made some kind of mention about the other third hole, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I was like, "I thought I just peed out of my vagina." And they're like,
"Wait a minute! Until now, you thought
until
that?
2 years ago?
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh my God! You obviously haven't examined your vagina.
I just told you this happened 2 years ago when I'd never looked at my vagina until I had an ingrown hair, and I had my girlfriend like I was like, "Can you please pluck it?" And she's like, "Spread them." And so I spread them, and she gets down there, and she's like, "Whoa, you've got a beautiful vagina." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "I do."
Right.
And that's the point at which, and this was just 2 years ago, I break out the mirror and I start looking, and I'm like, whoa, hey.
Really? And what about like feeling what part of your body it comes from? You didn't realize it comes from a different place?
No, I just kind of like ignore those things.
I mean, the distance is very close, but still.
I just never paid attention to it.
Do you believe this, Brian?
It's quite phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's even worse. My grandpa...
You knew where your clit was, but you didn't know where your urethra was.
Yes. Wow. I didn't even know I had a urethra. I'm serious. It was too funny. Yeah. But I was actually really mortified at the table, and everyone looked at me like I had 12 heads. When I was just like, really? It was like a total Jessica Simpson move.
Yeah. Obviously, you haven't explored.
I know.
That's what I would have said at the table.
Why would I explore that? There's nothing really pleasurable about that part.
No, but I mean, the whole part is pleasurable for you, right? So,
well, now I know.
You examine it, yeah.
But I can't stick anything in there, so what do I care?
Oh, my God. Okay. You know what? I need a break from this, man.
And we'll be right back after this.
Yes, we'll be right back.
Hello, this Chinese Public Information Officer Ling Da Qing Song Zhang with today Olympic report from Chinese point of view. China here hurricane headed for Florida. Why Michael Phelps not swim out to sea and push it away if he's so great? He expected to make $40 million in endorsement. Good. He endorsed products all made in China. Make us $80 million. Ha! Chinese hurdler pull out of race with foot injury. Coach say Chinese government put him under too much pressure. Not true. And you can ask coach yourself. Good luck finding him. That's all for today, world. Keep watching Greatest Olympics in greatest host country ever, China!
You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
In a western town, a dead end.
We all need a cup of coffee this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I left dead air on here. I'm sure. I'm glad you realized, because I wasn't even paying attention.
Well,
to
I
that.
Always have the music playing in my head unless something else is playing. And so yeah. I heard, we had the music in the background. I'm just like, ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba. And then I was like, nothing's playing anymore.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, Sam. I'm like, fix it.
Yeah. Well, it probably is for because of lack of coffee this morning. Because, I mean, I did have... a couple of cups earlier. But, you know, when we come here and we have the espresso machine and everything.
It's so nice.
And I go in. But sometimes people just stick shit in there and it gets stuck. So I'm trying three times, three different cups. The water is like splashing all over the fucking place. And, you know, I'm just dying for some fucking coffee.
You're shaking and you're just like.
not quite. But okay. But you get the idea.
Yes.
So I'm like really irritated. Finally, after three cups, I just said, fuck it. You know. But and it happens every once in a while. But it makes me crabby.
I know.
It really does, you know.
I was just hoping for some tea this morning to, like, warm up my throat.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was just looking at Brian's website over here for his YouTube video, and it's absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to give out his website information.
Okay, go ahead.
And his book information.
Well, what she's talking about, I mean, you could actually see my tattoos. It's a YouTube video. If you search at Chef Belive, B-E-L-I-V-E, then you'll see my tattoos. But my website is Belive Light, BelivLight.com.
Okay.
And I also just finished a book, an e-book called Orgasm of the Taste Buds. Mm. So if anyone out there is interested in it, you can email me at belive, BelivLucas, lucas@yahoo.com, and I'll send it to you. I'm just giving it to the world.
Yeah.
If people want to send a donation, right on.
Okay.
If they don't have money, yeah. Right on.
Do you need donations?
And, you know, just
you could use it.
I'm going with the flow. I have over 1,000 recipes. I'm doing published books and whatnot. This is just kind of more of a service and a gift.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Cool. It's cool. And, well, that's great. So what about the book? Did you just give out the book? Because my mind is somewhere else.
Yeah,
okay.
He gives it out.
All right. I thought it was just the website that you gave out.
No, I do.
So you wrote an e-book.
Orgasm of a Taste Buds.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And that
How could
can
you
be
miss
downloaded.
That one?
No, I heard the title. but we just had our guest walk in and I totally got distracted. So we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Like a day when everything is alright. I'd like to give it to you easy. Yeah, I'm just hoping you can feel me. You think you got it going on, girl. You move around in such a strange world where everybody lets it all out. You keep it in because you're so proud. You should know the meaning of a goal. I could have told you love is getting old. Oh, you were there with flowers in your hair. Was getting scared cause love has never failed. But you don't know, so now I'm not so insecure. If you could show me how to get you out the door. No, I won't lie, I can't deny. I will try, leaving without a goodbye.
Okay, and we're back. Thanks for staying with us. And we got a lot of noises going on here. Hold on a second.
Sam hates all of his noises and smells.
Yes,
and noises and smells.
You know, if there's a rattle in the car, I go out of my fucking mind.
You would have a heart attack in my car.
Really?
Things are bumping and banging all over the place.
Oh, I would go crazy.
I actually had a problem with my car, and I had to take it in, and they freaked out because they're like, you've got a martini shaker in the back seat that's like rattling. You've got this over here that's banging and this that's jingling. They're like, can you please clean out your car next time before you come?
Yeah. We need to bring up her headphones here.
Okay. Our guest doesn't need to hear.
Yeah. And we have our guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And please introduce yourself. What is your name?
My name is Jennifer Ome.
Hi.
Hi.
And so you just told us about a little incident here on your way in here.
Yes.
Let's hear about it.
I'm a little sweaty right now because I had to run away from a creepy guy.
What's a creepy guy? What did he do?
Well, he pulled up in a truck.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
Next to me. And he asked me if there was a forest around here. So I said... A forest like trees or like a forest street, you know?
Yeah.
He said, no, a forest. I said, no. And then I got the weird vibe. And then he said, can I drive you somewhere? I'm like, not to the forest, okay? Like, I'm not going anywhere with you.
Yeah, was he trying to really appeal to you by this? Obviously,
was he driving a van?
He was driving like a truck. Yeah. And it was very Ted Bundy-ish, so I just...
at least it wasn't a rapist van.
I know. The white van, that would totally freak me out.
No windows. No.
Plus, you're in the middle of downtown, so obviously it's not dangerous or anything, but...
It freaks you weird. Out, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get that a lot? I mean,
no.
I mean, you're a very attractive woman. I'm sure a lot of people hit on you and stuff, right?
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes.
I'm old and married now, so not so much.
You don't look very old to me. Besides, people wouldn't know you're married. I mean,
that's true.
You know. Yeah.
Do you wear a ring?
I do.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. But that doesn't matter. That really does not matter.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
I'm married and I don't have one, and I usually don't look to see whether there's rings or not.
No.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. You know?
Maybe I'm traditional and old-fashioned over here.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah, this old-fashioned.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Jennifer, you have something interesting that you want to talk to us about. So go ahead and introduce what it is that you're doing, that you did. And
right. Well, I wrote a book called Fly on the Wall. And it's basically how I discovered the secrets of the male mentality while I was living with my husband and his bachelor buddies.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Right. So it's actually unpublished right now. I'm working on it. I've had a bunch of meetings, very good feedback, but actually nothing is happening right now.
Yeah.
But it's a really, really fun book.
Really?
And it's all true.
Really?
It's a true story.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you said when you lived with your husband, you still do, right?
I still do.
Right. Okay. But the college buddies are not there
not
anymore.
Not anymore, no.
Thank God.
Thank goodness they moved on.
You threw out the kegerator?
Yeah, yeah.
Good girl.
So tell us all about it. I mean, did they move in or what?
They moved in. What happened is shortly after we were married. Actually, this all started in Canada. I'm originally from Canada, from
where
Montreal.
Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Canada.
You see how rude I always ask people where they're from, but I jumped right into the book. But
right.
Okay. So so let's stop the book for a moment and go back. So you're from Montreal?
I am.
Really? Mm-hmm. You speak French?
I do.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Tell us something in French.
Bonjour, ça va bien?
Okay. Oh, je t'aime, mon petit chouchou.
Oh,
good morning.
Oui, on te parle bien. Français.
Oh, wow.
That's all I know how to say.
You see, I just love listening to French, but I don't speak it. Okay, so, and when did you move out here?
5.5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, and the bachelor buddies came.
Oh, they came with you.
Uh-huh.
And you were married at the time already? So you got married in Montreal. And how long were you married?
We just got married 3 weeks before we moved out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this was in the plans to get married and move?
Yes, definitely.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And why did you guys want to move here?
It was my husband's job. He got a job offer out here. And,
cool. So. And were you excited about it?
Very excited.
Really?
I had dreamed of living in California since I was 14.
Really?
Aww.
Wow.
In Montreal, there's not much beach kind of action.
No.
Not much beach. No.
And it's not very warm, especially 6 months during the year. When
the
you're
snow is your sand.
Yeah, and it's not as fun. No.
Yeah, so, okay, so you decided to leave, and 3 weeks later, you moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who moved with you?
Howie did, and he's still here, actually. He's probably listening right now. Because
now, this was a friend of your husband's, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And my husband had actually lived with him back in the day.
Right.
And he had gone on to do his own thing. He's a golf pro. He had gone to play golf all over the world. And he came back and he had no place to live. So we put him up.
Oh, very nice.
I think I saw a movie like this once.
Yeah, and she mentioned it in the email. Yeah.
Yeah, trust me. It was all that and more.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
What was it called? You, Me, and Dupree or something?
That was the movie. Yeah, yes. Called You, Me, and Dupree. And when I saw that movie, I thought, oh my God.
You could relate.
Relate and more.
Mm-hmm. Really? Now,
you thought I stole your idea.
A big time.
So now, did you and your husband discuss this, that he's going to move in and so forth, and for how long and all that?
Not really.
Really?
He just kind of showed up one night and didn't leave.
Oh, my God. Everyone's biggest nightmare, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So he came to visit, and he just stayed.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long did it take before you actually approached your husband and said, well, what's going on?
You know, because my husband had lived with Howie previously, we kind of owed him one. And so that's kind of how it started. And then Robbie ended up breaking up with his girlfriend, and he was super depressed, and he moved in as well.
So he moved all the way from Montreal as well?
He actually moved in with us while we were in Montreal.
Right.
And he came to visit quite frequently, but he didn't stay quite as long as Howie.
You should have seen the writing on the wall there.
Yeah, we were quite a family.
And was this a studio, one bedroom?
We actually had a nice 3-bedroom in
it was perfect.
Montreal. However, in LA, things are quite different.
Oh,
so
yes.
We had a 1-bedroom, and we were one giant happy family.
Oh, so it's like a commune, like Brian here. Definitely. Brian lives in a commune.
Well, we call it the one house, one room hippie commune.
Oh my God, you know exactly what it's like.
And I live across the street, so I always wander over there whenever, you know, my miserable boyfriend gets annoying.
Yeah. Well, at that point, it's the more the merrier, right?
Oh, like, yes.
It's like, so we get up to like 6 or 7 sometimes.
Right.
It just becomes comical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I know.
I mean, this is fascinating. So, I mean, so these guys both slept in the living room?
They did, yes.
Wow. And did it ever occur to them that maybe they should move out and get their own place?
I don't know. But eventually they did.
Really?
So everyone's gone their own way, way now.
Mm-hmm. We should have Howie and Robbie call in.
We should. Well, I'm hoping Howie's going to call in. He's listening.
Yeah. 818-602-4498 if you want to call.
Yeah, because... And he was the real star of the book and the whole story and the whole event.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So so how long did they end up staying there?
Well, Howie moved out a couple years ago, I guess.
Yeah? So that makes it how many years he was there?
Well, considering the time in Montreal while we were engaged, I would say off and on for about 4 years.
Wow.
4 years.
Off and on. Mm-hmm.
4 years.
Off and on, yes.
Of your marriage, you spent with another guy in your house.
Yes.
Now, okay, so, I mean, this begs the question, Susie. What the hell were you thinking?
My mom thinks it was nuts. My mom thought we were all nuts, especially when we'd all call her from bed on Saturday morning. And, you know, we'd all get into bed together.
I think it sounds nice.
Susie would have felt at home there. Yeah. I mean,
do you have an extra bedroom?
No, there's plenty of couch space. Yeah.
See, this is totally something I would expect from Susie, right? I mean, you'd have no problem having somebody stay over.
Never.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Brian stays over whenever he wants.
Yeah.
Well, he has to get out of his commune.
Yeah.
To get
a break.
Plus, you're not married either. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame here, you know?
Yes,
I mean, I know that, you know, I mean, I think that guests are like fish. You know, after a few days, they start to smell, you know?
Mm.
And,
smells.
Yes. They start to stink, you know? And you gotta, you know, so, I mean, I know that when we have guests coming and they're gonna stay more than like a week tops, I get very antsy, you know? I like my privacy, you know?
I do too.
Should we take a break for your yawn? You can go ahead.
Oh, no. Okay. I can go to the side for that.
He was up late preparing food for my six-lady party at my apartment.
Yeah. Six-lady party.
Naked party.
It was a six-lady naked party.
Oh, was this what you were talking about yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, you listened. Cool.
Well, yes.
Yeah, cool.
Uh-oh, she had to see what she was getting into.
I did.
And she still came.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're sweet.
Brian, did you get to see any nudity at all? No.
Huh? A little tiny bit.
Just a tiny bit.
But still, I mean, it was just like,
but yeah.
It was fun.
Tease you? No.
Hey.
Okay, so going back to Dupre here.
Dupree.
I'm sorry.
Dupree. Or Howie.
Howie.
You, me, and Howie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, wow. So, now, Susie, I mean, what do you think of all this?
I think it's great.
You think it's great?
Absolutely.
You could have handled this for 2 years?
You know what? Sometimes, like, people are in the honeymoon stage of their marriage, and sometimes people get married, and I don't know. I personally might be a little bit afraid to just be completely on my own, so it might be nice to have someone else to take the pressure off. That way, if you're in a bad mood, you could be like, it's fucking Howie, goddammit, Howie didn't do the dishes. You can always kind of like point the blame elsewhere, whatever kind of problems
Howie
going
actually
on.
Moved out one time because my husband yelled at him for not picking up the dog poop in the backyard.
Oh,
so that was a bad scene.
Good, they should earn their keep, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he had some chores to do.
Now, was he paying rent?
He wasn't. This is really bad.
He
had some chores to do.
And did he do them? That is my question.
Except for that one time. My husband stepped outside and stepped in a pile of dog shit
on
his way to work and flipped.
No, wait. Was it a big dog or a little dog?
It's a little dog, but it's shit as shit.
Okay.
Yeah, shit is shit. There you go.
Oh, that's shitty.
Yeah.
You see, second day we're already talking about dog shit.
Again.
That's funny.
Okay, so he had a set of, a set amount of chores to do, like the dishes and things like that.
He had to vacuum
every day, or like twice a week.
Yeah, a couple times a week. Okay. He had to pick up the dog crap, walk the dog, and prepare drinks on Friday night. Big job.
That's a fun one. That's a good one.
Oh, and he had to take out the trash, which I can't stand garbage, so that's a big thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like he had like very, very little to do, and therefore he should have had no problem getting these chores done.
Right, but he's not a clean-up guy. Like, Robbie's a super clean guy. He was like the guy that would get down on his hands and he'd scrub the floor and buy like large amounts of toilet paper, but how he just used the toilet paper.
I like Robbie. He's a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Franz is probably using my last square right now.
So it was like having a teen in the house.
You're
raising a kid.
Yeah, children.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, you must have liked them, obviously.
I did.
Right?
I love them. I love them still. I love them to death. I love them now. I love them then. So
cool.
We all got along very well.
Great. We have a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Yes, hello. My name's Howie. I'm calling in to talk to Jen.
Oh, no.
Welcome, Howie.
Who the hell is Howie?
Are you talking nonsense over there?
Is she talking shit?
Lies.
All true.
Wait a minute. I want you to... I'm going to ask you then. Did you stay at our house for 2 years?
Say that again?
Did you stay at her house off and on for 2 years?
I think it was a little longer than that, actually.
Okay, so she's not lying, right?
I stayed there consecutively for 2 years at one point.
Okay, so she's not lying, okay.
And you didn't pick up the poop.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons why I left.
Howie.
You mean you left, like, kicked out or left by your own?
I left by my own accord, yes.
Really?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
But only for a little while.
Finally wisened up.
Back.
Yeah. Now,
yes, exactly. Now, I like the ass groove in my couch.
Now, Howie, let me ask you this. At a certain point, at any time during that time, did it occur to you that maybe they want to be alone and maybe you're just there because they don't know how to tell you to leave?
No, actually, but I could tell when they needed some alone time and I'd take the dog for a walk. And
are we talking a 5-minute walk or like a 45-minute walk?
It would depend. I could hear the sounds from down the road, so I'd start walking back.
Oh, my God. So imagine the sounds from inside the house. That's what I was going to ask, too. My God.
I've got a question for Howie, too. Yeah. Now, Howie, where did you get it on with your ass-grooved couch?
Oh, here we go.
In my ass-grooved couch. Well, I had a day couch and a night couch.
Oh, quite
they
nice.
Had two couches there. So if Robbie... You talked about Robbie, right?
Yeah. So when he was on the other couch,
there, I basically would move to his couch during the day to watch TV, and then at night I'd
because
have
he
my
was
bed.
Unemployed as well. That's another thing.
Of course.
So yeah. That was his chore for the day.
Moving.
Is this my boyfriend calling in right now? I swear.
So essentially, the highlight of your day was to walk from one couch to the other.
Right. The best.
I just have this picture.
Like a different angle to watch.
I have a picture of like a heavy, overweight man wearing a wife beater with like chips like crumbling down his shirt, sitting in crumbs and like beer stained couch.
I got out and jogged around. I burned all that off.
Really? Okay. Good. Well, you know what? You're a notch up from the Franz.
Exactly. But it was good times. Good times. I miss it.
And he did get it on quite often on that couch.
The really? Ass groove couch.
The ass groove couch.
Yeah, it's such a good opening line to say, come back to my friend's couch.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. Now, did it occur to you to leave, or were you just okay with that?
A bit of both. It did occur to me to leave, but I had nowhere to go, to be honest with you.
Well, don't you think that's kind of your problem, and that Jennifer's over here?
Exactly. What are friends for, though? You know?
Yeah, there you go. Well, luckily you liked them. You
yes,
know, so.
Yes. We had a great old time. I saw lots of naked butts and parts. Wow. And... Yeah,
there's nothing worse than walking in and having someone having sex on your couch. I've experienced this firsthand, and especially when you live in such like a small confined space. I mean, I don't know if you're not
I've stepped over naked people in the morning.
Wow.
I tried to get them out, but they wouldn't leave.
Now they won't leave. Now they're attached to the couch too. See how these things just spiral out of control?
I mean, it takes some nerve, though, on your part, Howie, to actually stay. Okay, let me ask you this, Howie. Did you at any point sit down with Jennifer and her husband and discuss this?
That I was actually moving in?
Yes, that you were going to stay there.
And that you were never moving out?
Not so much with Jen, but with her husband, yes. Her husband's name is Chris.
Oh, okay.
But he played it off like he had talked to her about it, and it didn't really work out that way. So he said, yeah, come on over, no problem. Sleep on the couch for as long as you want. I found out later, after I'd moved out, that that wasn't the case.
Well, see, my husband's the nice one, and I'm the mean one. So
I see.
They play us. They're like kids. They play us against each other.
I'm sure.
When mommy's going to say no, they ask daddy.
Oh, of course. And then they put you on the spot. And yeah. Oh, my God.
And that's true, Howie. You have to admit that.
Yeah. I've done the same thing. I told a guy friend once, I was like, oh, come on over. Stay as long as you want. I really didn't mean stay as long as you want. I mean, I meant like a week or something until you get your shit together. Like, really, I really did not mean... When I'm masturbating in my car and drinking a bottle of wine because, like, I don't want to disturb my guest that's sleeping on the couch, I know that I have a problem. And I have such, like... I have issues, like... actually telling someone, I didn't really fucking mean stay as long as you want. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And so instead, I let it boil up inside me until I absolutely blow up.
But that's what most people would do. I mean, it's hard to tell somebody to leave.
They'd masturbate in their car?
Well, but it's hard to tell someone to leave.
It wasn't even...
I keep a box of Kleenex in the car. What are you talking about?
But we all had a really good time.
That's disgusting, by the way. Sorry, go ahead.
Whatever.
We always had a really good time. Like, there was never a... There were points where it was getting a little tight,
right. But
there was never a point where I felt like this had to end now. Like, it never got to that point. We were all pretty... We all worked together for some reason. Mm. And the things that happened were super funny. Like,
really?
It was a story the next day.
Wow.
And we're all closer and we're all family now because of
big time.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Obviously.
It's, like, gone beyond
family. Howie, where do you live now?
I live up in Santa Barbara now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nice. And Jennifer, where do you and Chris live? What part of town?
In Brentwood.
Oh, in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. There you go. My favorite part of town.
Yeah, that's right.
Beautiful
there,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I miss it. The rent was good in Brentwood.
And what about Robbie? Where does Robbie live now?
Robbie lives back in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's doing his own thing up there. And we actually have a new little addition to our dysfunctional family. And his name is Little Buddy. That's his nickname, anyways.
Uh-oh.
And he's kind of like the young 23-year-old kid that's latched on to our weird family.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and he's now really the only single one, I guess. And so he kind of tries to get advice.
The store, so he's trying to move in on your couch quite often.
That's it. He does.
You mean your couch, Harry?
Yes, and it angers me.
Yeah.
Listen, we got another call. Let's see who else is calling. Hold on a second. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Hello, my name is Apollo. I want to talk to Brian Lucas, Be Alive, Check Be Alive.
Apollo. Hello, Apollo.
It's Apollo. Yes.
Apollo. What's up? How are you?
Hello, guys. I'm doing great. Am I alive? Am I on the radio?
You are on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are kidding me. I love Be Alive food. He just texted me to call the radio. I thought I was going to find out what channel I was going to listen to you guys. I'm so honored to know that guy in person. I believe it's a phenomenal revolution you're bringing about, guys.
He just said it's a phenomenal revolution that he thinks Be Live is bringing about with his raw food.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Where are you from, Apollo?
Apollo? It's not so much the accent, I think, as it's just his voice is muffled. I don't know why.
I think it was an accent.
Now I corrected it because I pay a lot of money to the Bluetooth that don't work.
There you go.
I was talking about the phenomenal revolution of the raw food.
Okay.
not the fact that it is a raw food or that too many of us, the raw foodists, are fanatic about it and religious about it, but rather the fact that it is so revolutionarily life-changing for the health of those who learn about it and practice it.
Yeah.
The reason why too many of us are kind of fanatical about it, is because it does really save people's lives. No animal in nature cooks. Us, the human beings, are the only ones who cook. And when people realize that eating fresh fruits and vegetables with less heat processing can change their lives and apply it, they just see the result. And I believe it's phenomenal to be able to eat that food in delicious form, which is what Brian Lucas Chase Be Alive offers. It's phenomenal.
Hey, you said phenomenal four times, Apollo.
Okay. All right, Apollo, thanks. We're in the middle of a different conversation, but thanks for the information. It's cool.
I apologize.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. He kind of changed the topic here. There's another call here. Let's see who that is. No, I think they
Do we still have Howie?
What's that?
Do we still have Howie?
Hello.
Yeah, Howie, you're still there. Let's see, because maybe somebody wants to ask you a question.
I'm eating a peach now, that raw food conversation.
Yes!
Good morning, you're on the air. Who's calling?
Hi, I'm Joe from Dallas.
Yes, hi, Joe from Dallas. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I was wondering if Brian could elaborate on some of the physical changes that he's experienced from going well.
Ah.
Oh, well, you know, honestly, I have so much energy. I used to be allergic to everything. I don't have allergies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, I don't know. It's phenomenal with my health.
Yeah, can't you tell how much energy he has? He looks like he's going to fall asleep in a minute.
Well, that was, you know, I only slept like 3 hours last night. But I didn't have to have coffee. I had a young coconut.
Really?
Instead, which gives me a lot of energy.
So young coconut, cool. Oh my.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds sexy, huh?
I turn everything into sex.
A young Thai coconut.
Oh my.
So where are you calling from?
Dallas.
Oh, Dallas, Texas. There you go. Wow.
Now, do you like raw food?
Yes, I love it. It's I've had some joint problems that it's actually helped me with a lot. Joints, energy, allergies, the whole bit. So I was on a raw food website, and, you know, so I discovered, you know, a lot of Brian's stuff. Because, like, the other caller was talking about, a lot of raw food is being kind of almost evangelical with it, and I looked at some of Brian's videos, and I was like, oh, wow, this is, like, fun and wacky and not, you know, judgmental or
fun
weird,
and wacky, you
know?
Did you say?
That's me.
You know, I mean, it's, you got to make it fun, you know. There's enough war in the world, and this is just more about having fun with it.
Yeah, that's always what I wonder. You know, I like to be so creative, and I just like to try so many different things in my mouth. Food-wise, people.
Yeah, right.
Yay!
Well, that's why I always guarantee to give an organic orgasm of the mind, body, soul, and especially the taste buds.
Oh, okay. We got it.
Brian, okay. I got here a little later, so do you have a restaurant, or do you...
I used to have a restaurant. Okay. It was called Organica. It was 10 years ago, back before raw foods was hip, and before you could make money at it, so... Now I just finished a book and
cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So cool. Well, yeah. Go ahead and read his book. It's probably you know, if it's up your alley, there it's it should be pretty good. I mean, Brian seems to know what he's talking about. It's at least that, you know. And Susie said the food was good, right?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It shocks me every time. I'm like, you want me to put that in my mouth?
Well, I have samples for you here.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna try and force him on Sam. He looks like he's resisting though.
I don't know. I'm picky with food, but anyway, thanks so much for calling. We
and
gotta go
for
back
listening.
To. Yes, thanks for listening. Okay, all right. Okay, Howie, you still with us, right?
Still here.
Okay, yeah. We just got like a whole congregation here this morning, you know.
We're
but
going back in time here.
Yeah, there you go. So Howie, let me ask you this. So at a certain point, you decided to leave, right? Did I ask you this? I mean, did I ask you at what point?
You were just about to get in and
into
it, and then the phone rang there.
That's right.
Yeah, there was a certain point where I just said it's time for me to move. I basically wanted a bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we all were getting a little bit older, and it was time, and, you know, Howie was no longer the single partying bachelor anymore. He was kind of like dating people more seriously, and things just kind of happened like normal. You know, people grow up.
So your girlfriend wanted you to have a bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't get anything past this one. She's clever.
Uh-huh. So it was sort of like enough is enough, and we move on.
She put her foot down.
But you know what fascinates me is that you ended up on good terms.
Oh my God,
you know?
Always. And everyone's welcome back anytime, and I mean, I know if I had nowhere to stay, I could go live with Howie, right? No, I mean, it's just a big family now. It's gotten way close, and we had so much fun, and we had so many stories and things that went on when we were together that's why I ended up writing this book. Yeah. And just the things that I found out about men in general.
Okay, like what? For example, I know you can't wait to tell us some. But that's the thing I was going to ask you. I mean, what's it like living with three men in the house?
A lot of masturbation, a lot of stray pubes in the shower,
no.
In the soap, which would gross me
out.
Oh,
no.
And you guys had only one shower, obviously, right?
Uh-huh.
One bathroom.
One bar of soap?
One bathroom. Well, we had a couple of bars, but there was inevitably some cross
stuff
going on.
No, cross-pollination.
Yeah.
Robbie was famous for his 20-minute showers.
Yes. And he took about three a day. And that was his only private time, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So as soon as the
Susie, I'd escape to the car for a little bit.
And the Victoria's Secret catalog would come to the house, and Robbie would be in the shower for 25 minutes.
And you would wonder where it is.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I knew. I started to know.
Yeah, I'd wonder where it was, too. We were like hyenas.
Yeah.
We're going after that thing.
The little kids I used to nanny for would take my Victoria's Secret magazine. Their parents would find it at the house.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I don't get a grown man masturbating to that catalog.
I think it's because they didn't have the privacy to like watch full-on porn by themselves. Okay. So they had to take whatever they could get.
Yeah.
Half a boob in a magazine was enough.
I get to look at my own.
It was a struggle, guys, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and ask you, was there any, like, sexual attraction between people in the house?
No,
well, you're not
going
to admit it. Yeah, none of you. I don't even know why I asked.
No, it's a good question.
She's like a big sister to me, basically.
It got so close that you, like, it's almost gross.
You know
what I mean? Like,
yes.
I'm like, oh, Harry's so
like
hairy.
You've seen me walking around naked. I've seen her walking around naked. Like, hey, put something on.
Yeah, like,
wow.
We had a rule that if you see somebody naked, you just look away and go about your business. Because to go, oh, sorry, it was just no point. We were in tight quarters. You were going to see naked parts, and you just had to deal with it.
Wow.
Right. It's sounding more like a commune.
I grab the Victoria's Secret and go to my car.
It is sounding more and more like a commune.
Yeah, it does. In a freaking one-bedroom apartment.
I mean, that's what happens. It was tight. You know, people getting in and out of the shower and the poo schedule.
Oh, my God. Oh,
wait,
let's
only
hear
one
about
bathroom?
That. Wow.
Only one bathroom, one toilet.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How do you do a schedule if two people have to take a crap at the same time?
You know, you have to let everybody know when you got to go, which is unfortunate. But again, you sacrifice privacy when you're living with that many people. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I mean, what did you get out of all this?
You know,
heartache.
I mean, she's had to put up with so much, you know.
You know, my husband is an attorney. He's a lawyer, and he works a lot. He works very, very long hours, and I ended up being alone a lot.
Mm.
So
get a cat.
I had a dog.
Or go on Ashley Madison.
Yeah. But you know, it was fun to have company, and Howie's like was like my little buddy that I could come home to and watch TV and cook for and all that stuff. And
yeah, that's
it was
true.
A lot of company, good company.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and then it gets to be like a family, so
totally.
You don't even question whether it's okay or not.
No, and my husband was fine with it, and we were all, I don't know, it just worked. For some reason, I guess it had to be us, it had to be our personalities, and it worked.
I think you guys are kind of probably a little bit like me, because I take in a lot of people, stray people myself, and animals, and I find myself just being pretty much a nurturer.
Right.
And so, I don't know, if people are in need, and they need to be helped, and I don't know, you always kind of find like a nice delicate balance between it.
Definitely.
That makes you feel good.
Yeah. And it makes you feel good and it makes them feel good. But
Yeah.
So you guys were like mom and dad kind of.
Yeah, it was like that. It was like that. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Naughty.
Yeah.
But Howie, you're straight, right? And so was Robbie?
Yeah,
they're both straight, and that's how a lot of stuff happened. I mean, one night I remember we all went out for drinks with a big group of friends, and you know, my husband and I got back to the house. This was in our place in Montreal when we had three bedrooms, and I think I drank too much. I'm pretty much sure I drank too much, and I passed out. And my husband crawled into bed and was flipping through the TV and closed the door so we could have a little bit of privacy. And I guess somehow, sometime during the night, Howie brought this girl back to the house, and the bedroom door opens. My husband's there. I'm passed out. This girl walks into the bedroom and crawls onto our bed.
Oh my God.
No.
So my husband is sitting there and he's like, okay. And the girl starts writhing around, feeling up my husband's thigh, rolling right on top of me like I'm not even there. And she's like, oh, what are you doing? And talking all super sexy. My husband's like, all of a sudden, like the devil and the angel appears on my shoulders. Right. One point, my husband's like, this could be really interesting. And the angel on one shoulder saying, get her out of here, get her out of here before my wife wakes up. And Chris leaned over.
But you were passed out.
I was passed out. I did not know this was going on.
I mean, he gets a chance of a lifetime, and his wife is right next to him.
And he could say you were into it. You were having a threesome.
It was kind of like
out.
A threesome.
You were blacked out. You would never know.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. So Chris kind of, you know, went to grab her and kind of roll her off the bed. Mm-hmm. And when he touched her, he realized she wasn't wearing any pants or underwear. She was completely naked from the waist down.
Wow.
Oh, no.
And Howie, did you know about all this?
That was my work.
Yeah. Wait a minute,
good
Howie.
Man,
how,
good man.
How were you involved in all this, Howie?
I was in the other room waiting for her to come in, so I was confused.
She had gone to the bathroom.
Oh, she had gone to the bathroom.
She
didn't. She said,
"How did she get
waiting,
lost
like,
if she's going into someone's bed?"
What's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, how did she get confused if she was walking into someone's bedroom?
She was completely
bedroom?
Drunk. Just
oh,
completely
I see.
Drunk.
Okay.
All
right.
She stumbled.
Yeah, she'd never been in the place, so she didn't know what was really happening.
Yeah.
So my husband delivered her back into Howie's room.
Really?
Yeah, and he just kind of pushed her in and said, "This is where you need to be." And then he held the door.
A pantless, pantyless girl wandering around the house.
Wow.
That's when Chris got into my wedding party.
Yeah.
So you didn't wake up during this whole
no,
thing?
No, I did not know any of this had happened until the next morning.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could have banged her right next to you. You wouldn't even know it.
Exactly.
Wow. What a great thing. So, we got some more callers coming in. Howie, we're going to let you go because I want to focus on other parts of the book and all that. So, thank you
Fair
so
enough,
much
guys.
For calling.
Good talking to you.
Bye, Howie.
You too. Take care.
All right. Bye, Jenny.
Bye. Love you.
Okay. So, but we do have another caller, so let's see who that is. Let's see. Okay, I don't know what's going on here, but hello? No, I can't connect him. Okay, call back, please. All right, anyway. I know what I did. I just screwed this up. Never mind. So, when did you decide to write a book about all this?
The day I decided to write a book, actually, I was talking to my friend Robbie. Mm. He had been dating this girl, Tina, kind of off and on, very casually, for a couple of months. And he used to see her every third, fourth day, very casual, mm-hmm. would call her when he was bored. And one day he called her and she just flipped out and she started yelling at him. "What's your problem? What do you want? I don't even know what your deal is." And he thought to himself, "What do you mean what my deal is? What's your deal? Mm-hmm. I call you every 4 days. Obviously, you've got to know it's not serious." Yeah. And it kind of dawned on me that these girls that they were seeing, dating, screwing, mm-hmm. whatever, just were completely clueless to what was really going on in their minds. Like, they would come home from their dates and tell me all about how crazy these girls are, how nuts they were, how they were kind of so-so about them. And these girls had no idea.
Aww.
Yeah. And it just kind of dawned on me that girls need to know what's really going on behind the scenes.
Poor clueless bitches.
Exactly.
So you got to learn, obviously, a lot about men, single men, and so forth.
That's it. And so I decided to share the information because I thought people should know. Yeah, I had too many girlfriends that were, you know, overanalyzing men. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself, you know, it's really not that difficult. They're so simple. They do exactly what they want. If they want to call you every day, they will. And if they don't call you every day, they don't want to talk to you every day. That's it. There's nothing more complicated than that. So I felt that the women of the world needed to know that.
Yeah.
And also, I met my co-author. Actually, I have co-author Jill Chapin. She couldn't be here today. She's out of town. She's actually 60.
Wow.
She's a hot-smoking grandma. Mm-hmm. We met at the gym. And I would kind of tell her all these stories as she worked out. She really liked it. She had a really good time. And one day she said, "You know, have you ever thought about writing it?" And I said, I have thought about writing it. And I did start, but I couldn't get a role going.
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, you know, I'm a writer and I'd like to work with you." So I started to work with her and it just went so fast.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
That's amazing.
It was really fun.
So you've learned a lot about men. Mm. What are some of the observations that you've noticed?
Well, first of all, men are simple. That's the first one. It's a little boring. It's a little dull, but I mean, it needs to be said. Guys are so easy to read. So many women just sitting over analyzing. They talk about it over and over again.
Absolutely.
Over coffee, over martinis. It's like, hello, if he wants to see you, if he's crazy about you, he will call. He will see you. That's it. That's
right,
number one.
Right.
Number two, I guess that they're super insecure, mm-hmm. and they're just as insecure as anybody, as any woman, and they, you know, they rate themselves, they're concerned about what they wear, they're concerned about what they look. No matter if a guy walks into a bar looking like he just threw on the first t-shirt that he found, I guarantee you it wasn't the first t-shirt that he found. It's a t-shirt that some girl at one point told him he looked cute in, and he's wearing it again. You know?
That's true. I mean, women do seem to take over as far as the clothes parts, you know?
Yep.
It's like I haven't bought clothes in years because my wife always buys the clothes. So
Franz,
you're right.
Franz had the same outfit, and that was all he ever had until I bought him, like, a new outfit.
Right.
Yeah, so you're right. And so men are simple, right?
I mean, simple.
Yeah, so what you see is what you get pretty much.
Totally.
What you feel?
Do not overanalyze. Don't think that it's deeper than it is. It's not. It is straight.
But what about people
there
that lie and stuff? You know?
Well, I mean, there's always liars. The one thing you got to think, if you're a single girl and you're going out and you're meeting guys, they want to have sex with you. That's the bottom line. If they're talking to you, they want to have sex with you.
Yeah. And Susie doesn't realize that.
See, I have this problem. I talk to anyone and everyone and their mother, and I'm just like, hi. Like, I will flirt shamelessly with a 99-year-old grandma, and I will flirt shamelessly with the same, like, well, with, like, a 2-year-old boy. And I'll flirt the same way, like, with my boyfriend or with someone that I'm interested in dating.
But that's fun.
But that's just my personality. Yeah. And I mean, it's like, I don't want to take that 99-year-old grandma home, but every guy that I actually, like, really talk to, you know, apparently Sam seems to think, and I guess you do too, that they all want to...
100%.
Yeah.
And 25.
Yeah.
125%. Really?
Really.
Yeah, no, it really is like that. Because men
they can't just love me for my sparkling personality.
They may grow too, to love you too. Eventually for your sparkling personality. That comes with time. Yeah. But
I think even in the beginning, I mean, that's what might draw them to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
But the thing is that look at Brian here, for example. Give you a massage, give you everything. Do you think he wouldn't bang you in a second if you get, you know? Maybe you did.
Oh no, he's nodding his head. Yes.
Yeah. You see, of course. You see, you're too naive.
He does have terribly sexy tattoos and very good hands, I will say.
Cool. Okay. So maybe there's a chance there, Brian. Hang in there. Yeah, so that's true. So that's what men really. So do you think that a man and a woman can just be platonic friends?
Well, because I have platonic male friends, it can happen, but I'm telling you it's very rare.
But it's because you're married. I mean, like, if you were single.
Married, we already said married doesn't matter.
Yeah,
all three of us agree.
It doesn't matter. I would say that you have to go through. I think that there's a phase that you can go through. Mm-hmm. There's a point at which somebody may develop a slight crush on somebody. If you like somebody, you like somebody, whether it's sexually or not. You know, it's it's hard to have a fine line defining them. If you like somebody, how can you not kind of go that way, right?
Yeah.
And I think that there's a point where you can either make a move, ride it out and see if it kind of just disappears, make something happen and have things go wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I think that if you can bypass that little hump, which usually comes, I mean, everyone's had a moment where they look at their friend one night and they're like, oh, you're so kind of cute. Like, I could maybe. And then a couple of days later, you're like, nah.
Yeah.
And as long as you can long as you can get over that and just be friends, you can. But it's very difficult.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Because, you know what? Okay, it's a Chris Rock thing,
okay.
and I've got to quote this. Let me just get it good. He says, there's no such thing as platonic friends. There's just a man that I haven't fucked yet. <You know? laughs> And it's like so true, you know, because, I mean, you know, any man, if he's with you, he'll probably want to bed you. Even if you're good friends, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree
even if
with
you're
that.
Good friends. But Susie, that's not to say that you got to stop being who you are. You know,
no.
I'm just saying, though, that you have to understand that people have expectations and, you know, they
might
not.
Does that mean I have to go through on those expectations?
No.
No, it doesn't, but you need to understand. Why people do the things that they do, and that
why they do the things they do for me,
and that you're rejecting them, you know, obviously. So, there's not going to be a good feeling there. You know,
that's sometimes it's fun to play games with boys.
Yeah. Don't you just love it?
I love it
because you girls have.
Brian's shaking his head over here. He's like, no, we don't.
Because you
love
have
that.
The power. You control the sex. That's why you can have a lot of fun with us.
It's
you know?
Really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you're out there and you're playing the game, it can be so much fun. You just have to know what you're getting into. You know, and don't think the guy. If a guy talks to you in a bar, he's not enamored with you. If you were the person that he talks to, then you're the person he's focusing on for that minute. It's all about sex, and as long as you can have fun with that, then you're gonna have a great time.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you don't lose control.
Well, you don't want to think you're special. That's the thing. Like, as cruel as it is, it's true. Don't think you're special just because the guys are talking to you. And, I mean, they don't care if you've had a bad hair day, if your ass is huge, whatever. If you're,
I've noticed that.
It doesn't matter.
They are very undiscriminating.
Totally. And they have much less problems with your body issues than you do. Would think.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give us the vagina and a pair of boobs and we're
oh
fine.
Oh, my God. Can yeah. I just tell you that's an exact quote from Howie in my book.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is my,
why not substitute a blow-up doll? A blow-up doll doesn't come with all the freaking drama that we come with.
Blow-up doll doesn't get wet.
They don't reciprocate either. Yeah.
Lube it up there.
That's the same.
I think that the point... Oh, I think that's my phone ringing.
Oh, okay, good.
That's terrible. Maybe I should have turned it off.
Why don't you go ahead and do that? Turn it off. So, okay. I'll turn this down.
Sam hates any kind of extraneous noise.
No, I mean, I don't think the listeners want to listen to this. You know, it's not very fun. But that's okay. It does happen here. So, Brian, I mean, and you're a guy. You're the same way, right? I mean, it's like you probably think of sex every 5 seconds. Or whenever you see a woman, you're thinking, God, you know, I mean, you have an opinion.
Well, I mean, I do obviously find women attractive, and I have my opinion of, you know, based on the when I look at them, I'm like, wow, of course I'm attracted to women.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I think that there is, with society, there is a generalization. So I personally like the full package, the mind, the heart, and the body.
Right. Yeah.
The body is the first part, of course, I look at.
Yeah.
But if they don't have a like character, and if they're not like, you know, loving,
then
I don't want to have anything.
I know,
to do
and often they turn out to be bitches, you know, because everybody's after them, so they're just like, you know, all the really hot looking women.
Oh, and
you
that's
know?
Another thing in the book. The pretty one, they tend to bypass that one right away.
Really?
They rather go for the fun one, the ones that are having a good time. The pretty one tends to be like a little bit of a wallflower. She's
not only that, but I think
she doesn't want to break a nail, doesn't want to mess her hair up.
Yeah, she's never had to really develop the personality, let's just say.
Yeah.
Because she's always gotten everything pretty easy.
Yeah,
plus, I think a lot of guys, I mean, I know I would be, when there's a very beautiful woman, you're kind of afraid to be rejected because you feel everybody's hitting on her and, you know, you're just another one of those. And, so, you know, and you're thinking, I don't have a chance with her.
Well, I would say that a lot of these guys that I've met just through Howie and Robbie and Little Buddy and my husband, they tend to have this rating system. Little Buddy. He's a cutie. They have this kind of rating system for themselves. If they consider themselves a 7 out of 10, let's say, they'll tend to hit on girls that are 6s and 5s because they're more of a sure thing.
Really?
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. That's true. No?
Well, not me.
No. So what do you do, Brian?
I just like, if I'm gonna hit on someone, for one, I go up to the ones that are the most attractive as possible, and then I see if they're a bitch,
right?
Or if they're, you know, coming from where
move
I'm coming
down
from.
Down the ranks after that.
No, I don't. I won't even go there. I won't even go there. I just stay up high.
Good job.
That's good. No, I've always been too sensitive to rejection, so. Most of my relationships have been women that walked up to me or something, you know, or that started. But I've always been intimidated by beautiful women and stuff, you know, because, again, but the funny thing is that I hear that they probably have the lowest self-esteem out of everybody, right?
Now
that is?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, and also they don't have anyone hitting on them half the time, so they're, like, more receptive, too, so...
I think everybody has insecurities. I think that if you have some image issues or some look issues, you maybe overcompensate from a more outgoing personality. Mm. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's why you see a lot of big, fat, ugly ladies that are a lot of fun.
Mm.
Right?
They're out there and loving it.
They're very outgoing and stuff because, like you said, they have more time to develop their personality.
Yeah. And they don't really care at that point where they have to, you know, they can't hide it. They're just out there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's like the fat, funny guy.
Mm.
It's like, you know
but
what I mean?
The fat, funny guy's attractive, don't you think?
Trust me, I've had my fair share of them.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Because women are suckers for sense of humor, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Or at least that's my thing.
I mean, it's the first thing that every woman says when you ask her, what are you looking for in a man? a sense of humor, you know. And sometimes it irritates me because it's as though we're expected to entertain them, you know. Like, what am I, you fucking clown or something, you know? And
put on a show.
Sense of humor, yeah, you know. But
I used to have a boyfriend. I would always say, "Dance, monkey, dance for me," and I would like snap my fingers. And he did it at first, but then he started being like, "I am not your little plaything. You just can't just snap your fingers on command and have me like dance." I was like, "But it's so sexy and it turns me on, baby. Please, please dance, monkey. Please dance for me." And next thing you know, he's shaking it, and I'm just like, "Oh yeah." Boys are totally playthings. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Franz and I were having this conversation the other day. He's like, "I'm a human being. I can't. No, I just won't be. You can't treat me this way." And I was like, "Oh yes, I can. Watch me."
Yeah.
So
you see, that's mean.
I know, yeah, I know.
That's mean. Like,
whatever works, you know.
No,
what
I mean, I told her. I said, I salute this guy because the abuse she puts him through, and he's still around. Yeah, by her own admission.
He's met the
She's
Franz.
Abusing him. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, would you put up with all that shit? Well, maybe you don't know what shit she puts him through.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
He lives next door, and the windows are open. He hears probably all the screaming that goes on.
Really, there's a lot of screaming.
But one time.
One time, that's it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I have no voice. Because I go home at night and I'm like...
Oh, so now we know. Now we know. She's like, "No, I was screaming in the bike ride." Yeah, right.
It could have been a combination of things. Yeah. I don't know. And he's usually on the bike ride, so I'm usually screaming at him on the bike rides while I'm hooping and hollering. So, oh well.
Sounds like a married couple to me.
Yeah.
So how is... I mean, did this affect any of the relationship with your husband at a certain point between you and your husband?
Not at all. I think it actually brought us closer because we had, you know, people to bitch about behind their back. We kind of would get together and say, "Oh my God, can you believe how he brought home that chick last night? She was so, you know, I don't know.
It was such a slut. And oh my God, did you see what she was wearing? Oh my God.
I don't know. My husband and I are very, very close. I don't know. We've known each other a long time. We hooked up a little bit later in life. And I don't know. We're very comfortable with each other. We're very comfortable with the guys. And we always had a great laugh. And we're all friends. So my husband is my friend, too.
Wonderful. Now, having been quote unquote parents for these kids out here, do you guys plan on having kids of your own?
I don't know. It's still out there.
Still
we'll
out there?
See. Mm-hmm.
That's a no.
Well, I was like, I don't know. Like, are you... Do you want to nurture like your own things, or are you just, you know, up for the fun-loving ones?
I
can kind
know.
Of take care of themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of working on that.
Yeah, you're cool. Still young.
Yeah.
So now let me ask you, what do you do? I mean, what do you do every day?
Well, actually, right now I'm really focusing on writing. So I've been writing a couple of. I'm working on a couple of
nice.
Other projects.
Well, you're married to an attorney, for crying out loud. You don't have to work.
And must writing nice, is work. Leave
writing
her alone.
Is work. Yeah.
No, everything is work. Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was a business consultant for a while. I worked for Hilton International. I was corporate sales manager for hotels for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just got really the creative bug going, and now I just love writing. And we're really working on doing something with this project. It's called Fly on the Wall, by the way.
Right.
And it's just how
That's
I...
That's a great name.
Yeah.
A great time.
I
Definitely.
Became the fly on the wall. I listened into their conversations. I got a lot of good stories out of it.
So you're an eavesdropper.
I am. I was.
Yeah. Now, you should be like a dating expert or something now. You
well,
because you understand them.
Yeah, I think that I understand. Yeah. I mean, a lot of my girlfriends call me for advice and stuff like that, and that's always fun. I love doing that. I was a wing girl. They called me the wing bitch for these guys, and I would go out and lure in these poor, unsuspecting girls.
Oh, no,
no, it was awesome, all man. Fun and games. I mean, these guys, they're not womanizers. They're not abusers. They're not assholes. They're good-looking, funny guys that were out to have a good time, you know, and
as were the girls, I'm sure.
That's it. A lot of the girls were too. I remember one day Howie actually really liked this one girl, and she got up in the middle of the night and bolted.
Oh,
he woke up and he walks into the room wrapped in a towel. "I've been used." So guys have those kind of feelings too.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, we feel a lot of rejection as a guy because we're the ones that pursue, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of that going on. I mean, did you, were you privy to any of their difficult times? I mean, difficulties as far as dating and women, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, there were breakups, there were, like, broken hearts, there were things that were going on, but there were much more, they discuss more easily the funny things, you know, they kept very closed about their sad times kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, they were much more reserved about talking about those
Why
things.
Why is that?
Guys are guys. That's, I don't know.
Well, that's, I mean, that's the stereotype of men, yeah. but not all of them are like that.
Obviously. No, I mean, obviously, none of this is a stereotype. This is from the experiences that I've had with these particular guys and some of the guys that I've known through them. Obviously, I'm not saying all guys are like this. This has just been my experience. I think that some of them out there, you girls might recognize some of these guys out there when you're when you're out at the bar. But no, I don't know. I find that they were obviously more open emotionally to me than my husband, that's for sure, you know. Yeah, and sometimes my husband would walk into the room and they'd kind of shut down in front of him because they'd want to play like macho and be like, no, everything's fine, you know, screw that girl or whatever, of course. So
no, it's true. And that's why I think men should go to female therapists, because I think it's easier to talk to a woman because you're not trying to impress or keep a certain reputation.
Yeah, I agree. You
know? And I like going to a male therapist because I feel like they have a very, like, I don't know, unemotional stance on things.
Yeah.
Me too.
And they can kind of like, they take all the, I don't know, the, all my emotion's the only word I can really think of right now.
Yeah.
But I go in there and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. And the male therapists are just like, Susie, calm down. All right, now tell me really. Let's get rid of all this other bullshit that you're like freaking out about.
Yeah, and I would have to say that my close friends are men, I think, for that exact reason.
Yep.
You know, I find it easier to have a relationship. There's a lot less drama going on. They tell it like it is. Yeah. You know, if they're mad, they'll just say it.
They're very neutral about things too.
Yeah. Well, this is very refreshing. I mean, finally somebody saying positive things about men, you know, I mean, there's so many men bashers out there.
No, there's no men bashers. I love men. I love
men too.
Yeah, I love boys. I love guys.
You love everybody. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I love talking to guys. I love hearing their stories. And I love the experience that I had living with all guys. I wouldn't have it any other way. I think that if there was a girl in the house, things would have gotten
catty.
Yeah. Really? You know?
Yeah.
And it was fun. I could unleash on them, too, and not hurt their feelings. You know, if I was mad that there was yet another pubic hair in my Irish spring, I could, like, let them have it and know that 5 minutes later we'd go out and have a cocktail. It would be fine.
How do you know it wasn't yours?
No, it's not mine.
Well, okay, she knows. She knows.
Definitely not mine.
On that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Introducing American Hollywood movie star Sylvester Stallone.
Hello, comrades. Hey, I beat up a Russian in Rocky IV. And I killed a lot of Russians in Rambo 3. But that doesn't mean I don't love Russian vodka. That's why I drink Russian ice.
American Hollywood movie star Sylvester Stallone drinks Russian ice.
You know, for a long time, you've been drinking the same vodka. But I know once you taste Russian ice, you can change. I guess what I'm trying to say is that if I can change, and you can change, everybody can change.
American Hollywood movie star Sylvester Stallone says, change to Russian ice.
Hey, it's a knockout. How was that? Is that right? Good.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Time to figure out how you can talk to the two best hosts in internet radio history. Simple. Pick up your phone and dial 818-602-4498. Once again, here's your hosts, Sam and Susie.
Okay, and we're back. We have Jennifer in the studio, and we have Brian. And so, Jennifer, you said you haven't published the book yet, right?
No.
Do you have any time schedule, timeline?
You know, I've been meeting with a couple of interested parties. There was actually a producer that was kind of thinking of doing something. So, I don't know. I'm hoping it's going to take flight and I don't know, develop into something really fun. It can make a really good movie, mm-hmm. kind of You Mean Dupree style, but yeah. taking it to the next level, yeah. you know?
You definitely yeah. have a story there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no
definitely
doubt.
Definitely a story yeah. to tell. My characters, Robbie and Howie, are total characters. You know, yeah. Howie's the class clown, funny, uses his comedy to kind of shield his shyness. They're good looking, big guys, strong guys, and Robbie's kind of like the kind of dark and broody type that the girls all want to fix. You know, I want to fix him. What's wrong with him? I want to take care of him. So they just make a perfect pair. And then little Buddy is just this cute little innocent kid with a deep, deep voice and a cute face, and he picks up all the chicks.
So what is it with women? Why do you want to fix the men? I mean, what is it with that? I know that I'd rather have a woman I don't have to fix that is already good.
I think it goes back to like the nurturing aspect
totally.
For me.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe I wasn't nurtured enough as a child myself, and now I'm trying to overcompensate. Right. I don't know.
Definitely, I would say it's that. It's the mothering thing. We really? Want to take care of something and fix him and make him all better, and then he'll just love me forever.
Well, can I put it out there? I'm really screwed up.
Okay. All right.
So he needs lots of people yes. to come and help fix him.
Nurturing types.
Call 1-900 for a good time.
Wow. So have you considered self-publishing? Because, you know, now you can.
Definitely.
It's very,
yeah, I have.
Is that really expensive, though?
You know, it's not so much about the cost, but I think that there's a home for this out there. I think that somebody wants it. So I think that self-publishing at this point is jumping the gun. I'm sure it's just a matter
I see.
Of
okay,
time.
So you're still trying to get publishers.
Definitely.
And stuff. Yeah.
I know somebody you're out there.
You're probably
interested
right.
In
you're
it.
Probably right.
Now,
yeah.
how does your co-author, you know, you said she was an older woman. Mm-hmm. Is she kind of quirky? I imagine her being like a quirkier old lady.
She's like a super sexy grandma, and she's got like this hot body. I started telling her these stories, and she started laughing. She started giving me her input. She was shocked by a lot of the stuff she had experienced in her day. So I don't know. We just got along really well. We clicked, and she just loved the stories, and she fell in love with Robbie and Howie, and it just went from there.
Robbie, so did she ever spend a night on the couch and get like the full feel for the situation?
No, I don't think she would do that. But she has met them and she loves them and everything. You know, everything is true. It's 100% true story. It's nonfiction. There's no holds barred. It's their real names. We've changed some of the other people's names, however.
All the fellow female couch surfers.
That's it. The asses that I've seen in the night.
Yeah. So how does one shop their book around? I mean, what do you do? You have a manuscript already?
Uh-huh, yes, okay. I do. It's a difficult process. I mean, it's LA. Everybody's out here doing something. I've been given emails and letters saying basically don't even bother because it's so difficult unless you know somebody. Luckily, my co-author does know people in the industry, we've had luck with actually having literary agents and producers actually read it, which is a huge thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a big step in LA.
Yeah. And you do need an agent, right? It's just like an entertainer. I mean, you need someone to do the work for you.
Yeah, I would love a literary agent, an agent of any kind. I would love that, yeah. definitely.
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
I know.
It's so awful that it's so discouraging out there for people that are, you know, fresh in the business and that have, like, a lot of things to say and a lot of, you know, smart, funny things to put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it almost has to be that way because there's just so many people out there trying to succeed and stuff that, you know, somebody has to rise to the top, but not everybody's going to.
Yeah.
You know. Let's see. We got another phone call. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
This is Casey James.
Casey James. Does anybody know Casey James in the house?
Yeah, he's Baby Jeebus. He's one of the members of the One House to become me and across from Susie.
Oh, yes. Hi, Baby Jeebus. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
So this is the other masseur here?
No, this is... Well, he could be. I think he's actually become most famous in our little commune family because He's never eaten a pussy before.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I feel so bad for you, man.
I'm sorry. I had to put that out there.
Now, what's the reason that you have?
It's definitely true. I'm just not as experienced.
How old are you? How old are you?
Baby Jeebus, how old are you?
I'm 25.
And now,
fresh meat.
So is this something that you chose not to do, or you haven't had the opportunity?
I'm just a nerd. Like, I just sit on a computer all day, and you know, I don't really get out much. So.
Well, Google how to eat a pussy.
Yeah. No, but wait a minute. I mean, what you're trying to say is that maybe you don't go out a lot or something. But when you do have a woman, why would you not do it then?
It's coming up. The opportunities are becoming more available. So.
I think his girlfriend just refused to give him head until she gets the goods.
No, it's more like anything. Well, I keep telling him he's going to love it, though. I mean,
he doesn't know what he's missing. Man. Yeah, yeah. No, I like to have a face-to-face with a vagina every now and then. Yeah. So that's cool, man. So you're a nerd. What do you do?
Well, I work on the internet all day and make phone calls like a huge nerd and watch comedy shows. So I'd be a class 5 nerd.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, he's about to launch greensociety.org and .net and .com here soon. So
really?
he's been working very hard on that for the last 4 years. So
yeah.
Does he work from the commune?
He is right now. That's his station. Mm-hmm. That's his mm-hmm. office.
Are you naked on the couch right now, baby Jeebus?
No, I'm actually taking a bus. I'm actually about to jump onto a bus right now.
Oh, so you finally put clothes on today. Good, good.
Did you wipe your diaper? Did you wipe your bottom? Did you get your bottle?
I wiped my diaper.
Yeah, he's a key cries. He's just a baby.
Hey, what kind of radio show is this anyway?
Yeah, it's garbage. It's all garbage.
Yeah. It's extremely professional.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in, Casey. Right? Or
Casey, how'd
Casey
you call James, him? Baby Jeebus.
Baby Jeebus. Okay.
Yeah, Baby Jeebus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Guys.
Yeah, and when you finally do get to eat some pussy, let us know.
Yes, let us know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Make sure it's a good one, though. You got to pick a freshie.
Howie says it's the best way to get repeat business.
Oh yeah,
really?
Is that how it is?
That's what we try to tell him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And but the thing is, you have to do it. You see, but the way you're presenting it, people would think that. I'll do it so I can get something in return, you know. For me, that's just an end in itself.
I think Howie meant more of the same.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, he wants the girl to come back again and again.
No, I understand that. Yeah. I understand. But you said, right, if I do this for him, then he's going to do it back, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's like you... In order for you to be good at it, you have to love doing it without expecting anything in return, you know.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, that's always been my favorite.
I just can't stand it when like a guy wants to like 69. That's one thing I really don't like. I mean, I'll do it, but there's nothing worse than having a ball sack on your nose.
You can't concentrate on your own thing.
I can't concentrate. I've got a ball sack in my nose, and it's like just flopping around, and I'm just like, and then you're staring at their asshole, and you're like, huh.
Yeah, that's called a Roman soldier's helmet. That's what they call it.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
And and when the balls are in your mouth, that's what's that called? Oh man, I forgot. I'll come up with that in a second.
Oh no, the Roman soldier's helmet. That totally is. Oh my God, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a big fan.
We're totally embarrassing Jen here.
No,
I'm so embarrassed.
Trust me.
I've seen the helmet.
You've seen it all.
Oh, my God.
Well, I remember now. It's called teabagging.
Teabagging,
yeah, when you put your balls in the mouth. Teabagging, yeah.
So.
God, the shit we talk about. Sometimes
I'm
sorry. I don't
know. Not even any cocktails going on.
No, nothing. In fact, you know that we have.
Was she the one I was supposed to have mimosas ready for?
No, that one is a friend. I mean, someone I used to work with.
She's, oh, I was going to say.
She's coming
I'm
in
so
next week.
Sorry, I would have.
But no, if we had known,
the...
we would have mimosas for you.
Oh yes, I'm a bartender also in my spare time, so I like to mix with the cocktails. To Sam's dismay, it's like, Susie, how much did you drink last night? For Christ's sake, can you go to bed at a reasonable hour and get some sleep?
I'm like, I never talk to you like that.
You kind of do. Every day I leave here, you're like, Susie, go take a nap.
Susie, I don't talk to you like that.
You do too. But it's okay.
You see, she always
views
me as like, oh, come on, man.
No, I need it. I need it sometimes. I need someone to tell me to calm down a little bit and actually take care of myself.
But I'm really
more.
Not telling you to calm down. I mean, it's all in the you know, in the name of good radio.
It's in the character.
Yeah, you need to stay who you are, definitely.
Don't worry, I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
Don't change. Now, we just have a couple minutes, and I wanted to bring this up because it's a big deal today on the news. They're saying that college chiefs urged new debate on drinking age. In other words, many college presidents are trying to lower or get the government to lower the drinking age to 18.
Wow.
You know, and they're saying because too many people are, you know, I just
getting
like,
thrown out of college and things. Yeah, and underage drinking.
Yeah, and they're thinking that maybe more people abuse it because of this. Mm-hmm. Though I can't really see that. You know, I mean, if you want to drink, you're going to drink anyway. You know.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, look at people who are going off to die for our country. I've always thought that's kind of strange that at 18 you can go to war and you can't drink.
Yeah, but I don't think it's about the so much about the drinking itself, but as far as being responsible while you're drinking, you know.
I mean, I'm from Montreal, and the drinking age is 18.
Right, mm-hmm. And there's no problems there.
You know, I don't think it changes anything.
Yeah. I don't think it does either.
You know what I know? I actually read a study once upon a time that said the reason that one of the reasons that we have the drinking age at 21 is because your brain isn't like completely developed at the age of 18 or 19 for the most part.
That's probably
true. And it's not until. You know, I mean, it obviously varies from person to person, but I think 21 was like a good point.
But the U.S. is, I think, the only place.
Only place.
You know, around the world. And it's got the number one binge drinking rate and death rate from binge drinking in the world.
Yeah.
So that's a weird thing to look at.
But is that under 21 or over 21?
That's just in general, binge drinking thing.
Yeah, and it does the opposite. I mean, in general, it makes children that are or teenagers want to drink even earlier.
Right,
you know, there's this,
right.
You know, I think
it's or they turn 21 and they go totally crazy.
Totally.
I don't know. By the time I turned 21, I had such a drinking problem that I actually stopped drinking at 21 for a while. I didn't drink. Well, I shouldn't say I didn't drink, but I didn't drink that much for probably about 2 years.
Wow.
I didn't start drinking until 32.
32?
Well, 21 originally, but then I still didn't really drink until I was 32.
And now you don't drink at all.
And now I don't drink at all.
Mr. Two DUIs. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No. I'm drug and alcohol free at this point, but I've done enough for the whole city of LA. So.
There you go.
Me too, but I'm not done yet.
You guys are so altruistic, I'm telling you.
It's all about, it's definitely about being open book for me right now.
Yeah.
I do it for the kids.
Yeah.
Corks for kids. I have a corporation now where I donate all my wine corks for the kids.
Get out. I've got a whole vase of
corks.
Really?
We should exchange information. Yes. Yeah, definitely. This would be great.
I'm a huge wino.
We should get together and have some wine for the kids.
Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
For the kids, Sam.
Yeah, there you go. You see, if we had known, we would have brought some wine for you. I didn't realize that. But you know
corks.
What? Maybe we should have some on hand, you know, because Susie's always going to be able to use it.
What makes
it,
you think I don't have some in my purse right now?
Doesn't she have a shaker in her car?
I had this, my shower actually looks out, it's got a little window onto the street where I park my car, and one day I was in the shower, and I hear these two ladies saying, oh my god, Dolores, look, she's got a baby seat, two bottles of wine, and a martini shaker, right in the baby seat, Dolores, what do you think is going on here, and is that a pair of dirty underwear next to that, oh Jesus, and I'm just like, and I yell out, I was like, hey, that's my car, and I'm a nanny and a bartender, so back off, bitches.
Was that like, this morning?
Shut up. Oh no, you did have to clean out my car, huh? Shit.
Well, I didn't. The one thing I didn't find was the wine bottles and the shaker.
Look under the
but
seat.
The panties and the.
You did find panties on the front seat. Oh no. I went swim. I forgot my bathing suit bottoms yesterday, and I was nannying, and the kid wanted to go in the pool or in the ocean and whatever. So I went in my mini skirt and undies.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I changed for yoga in the car, so then I left the undies to dry, hanging from the rearview mirror.
What a seat.
But then the car got steamed up, so I threw them in the back seat, and now they're like sitting on the baby seat, so which is where you probably found them.
Oh, no, now they're sitting in your kitchen. I brought them in, remember?
Oh, lovely. Oh boy.
Well, I'm sure we could be sitting here all day and having a blast, but it's almost time. I wanted to ask you, Jen, do you have any, did you create like a MySpace or a website or anything?
It's all starting. I am in the process of creating it. But in the meantime, if anyone wants to get in touch with me, it's Fly on the Wall. That's the name of the book. Mm-hmm. And my email is J, F as in Frank, A, U, B as in Bob, E, R, T, 24@hotmail.com.
You enunciate very well.
Thank you. Cool. So what my you husband should always makes fun of me for that.
So what I'm going to do is maybe we'll just take the email address and we'll put it on our website.
Sounds great.
So people can contact you and stuff.
Sounds perfect.
But, you definitely have a story there.
Thanks.
Very fascinating.
Thank you.
And, I know you'll do well. I mean,
I hope so.
Yeah. You're happy in the marriage and everything?
I'm happy with everything. Really? My life is fabulous right
really?
Now. Yeah.
You don't mind that you hardly see your husband and stuff?
Hardly see each other. We see each other a lot. He's a hard worker, but when we have time together, it's 100% quality
Wonderful.
Time.
Wonderful.
I think we should put a link for Howie on the website as well in case anyone needs a couch to stay on.
Yes.
for couchsurfer.com. Howie, if you're listening, you really need to register. Because when I come up to Santa Barbara, I'm staying with you, baby.
And Brian, do you have anything to plug your ebook again? Go ahead.
Well, my ebook is Orgasm of the Taste Buds.
Right.
And to get a copy of it, just email me at belivelucas@yahoo.com. That's belivelucas@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. You can also check out a really cool video and see my tattoos on YouTube if you just search for Chef Belive.
Uh-huh.
And it's spelled Belive or Belive. Pretty right. easy. And people get it confused with Believe, but I just tell them, you can call me Beehive, Bejive, Believe, Belive,
whatever
you want. Just make up a name. And my website is BeLiveLight, BeLiveLight.com, and MySpace.com/ Brian Lucas.
Cool.
So, thank you.
And in the future, please don't bring me any more cookies, okay? the taste that left in my mouth, my God, man, I'm telling you. But
I loved it.
I'm sure somebody likes it. Yeah. Susie, anything to plug?
Me, no. Yeah.
We're going out.
We're going to Sardo's tonight, so everyone should come. Yeah. It's a porn star karaoke.
Yeah, if you want to see a porn star and karaoke in the same place, that's a place to be.
And Sardo's Susie and maybe Sam.
Yes. And definitely. Brian, are you going to go?
I just might. Mm. I don't. If I can get a ride.
I'll give you a ride.
Yeah. Sounds right up my alley, hey?
Yeah. And Jennifer, of course, you're invited,
but
I don't know if you'll make it. Anyway, thank you so much for being here with us. Susie, thanks again.
No problem.
I want to remind everyone, we will be here tomorrow, but Thursday and Friday, Susie's going to be taking a little vacation, so we'll be off.
Blowing this joint.
I'll have I could do it with, I could bring in some guests and stuff, but I thought, you know what, that's a good opportunity for me to take a couple days off.
Take some time off.
Yeah, definitely. So be here with us tomorrow, and thanks for listening.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.